Good morning, sisters and brothers. I want to welcome you to this wonderful and unique experience of worship, to the worship podcast for Petaluma United Methodist Church. This is a wonderful time for you to grab a cup of coffee, to sit back, relax, and receive this experience. You can pray along, sing along, participate any way you like. Just know that we are here with and for you. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I have the great privilege of being the pastor of this wonderful church. And I welcome you to worship today and look forward to being with you as we come together before a mighty and a gentle God.
Please join me in the call to worship. As we move together to the rhythms of faith and grace, we hear the call for us to come together to worship, to pray, and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. Come, let us respond to this call as we give ourselves in worship to a mighty God. Call to confession. Friends and comrades in faith, though the world around us spins its wheels in a mire of untruth and confusion, our God bids us to come in spirit so that we might both speak and hear truth in the power of prayer. Let us draw close to God as we unburden ourselves and speak truth in love about our lives and our hopes. Come. Let us pray.
It is always renewing and healing to take our truth to God and to receive God's love. In this and in all ways, God extends forgiving grace to us. In turning to receive it, we are ourselves forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, this forgiveness and renewal are yours.
Our scripture reading is from Psalm 22. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust. And I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it.
Nanda lesson ni namatakan dindai sakoto menesame rusubu rua wana tikin ni rusubu tolu kina tumzubu ondua wango na kena rorongo wiki mundo usarere bagi choba duba wabini binagabua duba wadote kikoya wiki mundo kithinga na kawiche kope durere bagi koya wiki mundo kithinga na kawiche reli ni sasega ni mbeda se data na rarawa ni tumata sabora rao taki ka sasega ni bunia bua na matana iya sarongoda kukoya ni satangi bua unopaka mulumuli nga buweke muni eni soso ulebu ya kona ya lataka kona kitaka na matanda erarere baki kukoya ernakana kama mau kuirina ya mulumulumu Erna bawa bini bina kabi coba kuira era sabah kesangkri kuya. Erna bulan era mundo kesangkri mundo. Erna bawa nana nuti denga naya lele kibur pura kesemua kibi coba. Ena lutu ematamu ni kuira kidenga nadi matenggali ni benua. Nisa ni coba namati nitu iku kuya nga satu ranga biira nadi matin tu. Wira kedenga era sadi blebu e burubura era kana kalutu ira kedenga era salo sopu kino kubuni soso era sadu babua io koya sa sanga ni bompula trauna elona ena ngarabe koya endo na kawa ena ukati bwan turanga menona kawa ena lako erna lako mai Kau tu sah, mana nayar tu dulu. Biar mata mata, ersa sudu mai, nisa bakawa, kau ngurku kaya.
The scripture today is from Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. And be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed, and when he comes in the glory of his Father with the angels.
Coronation is a cotton in America, no sewalu, when a ticket in a tusubuntua, in a tusubuwalu, Bangwana can roam. As a bagatebu me bobulidira, Nisakilikilkayana lubin tamata me bosota na kaibunga. Merambiti quatalanga quirnangasi, Kerambiti lebu. Kerana bunyi bola, kami bawa mati, kami itu tak kita lihat ketul di sini. Asal tu kena bawa mazalan bos ukuah, asal kau tiku aku pita, kapagatibu me punoda. E ni sapu ki magukoya, karedira na ti sepeli, sabuno di pita, kakaya, lakotane kita kumbu setani, iku sapu kona numa, iku sasa ni kona numa nakadi kelo, kanga ni tomata. Medunguwa, wakalo tatakana kelo, nono wasa ndarama darawa, endendai, emeni.
It's wonderful to be here today, friends, and I'm grateful to be able to share with you. Would you pray with me as we prepare to receive God's word? Holy and magnificent God, you are the creator of all that is. You call us together. You create of us a people where we were once no people. This day, as we come to give our hearts to you in worship and praise, we ask that the meditations of our common heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, God, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. To you and to you alone do we owe our allegiance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, many of you will know, just from knowing me, that I'm the proud father of twins. Emma and Aaron are now 26 years old, believe it or not, and I could not be prouder of the young adults that they've become. Thanks be to God for guidance and especially for the shared partnership in parenting with my wonderful wife, Lisa. Now, whether it's twins or singletons or triplets, the joy and wonder of parenting can, at times, be punctuated with what it takes to navigate today's world as parents. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes, I guess, at the end of the day, this parenting thing gets to be challenging. You know what I mean? One of those things for me when they were young was going to the grocery store with twins who were about 4 or 5 years old. Oh, my goodness. I remember going with them to Safeway and placing them in the shopping cart. They were, of course, really excited and stimulated by the experience, and they'd be chattering and pointing and wanting this and wanting that, and they even employed this kind of strategy of having one of them distract me while the other one secretly would put cookies, chips, and all manner of things that were not on the shopping list into the cart. And they would do it with the best of humor, nattering, singing, pointing, laughing, and I would get to the checkout counter, and as things went on to that little conveyor belt, I would look askance thinking, no, I didn't put that in that cart. Red licorice, pickled green beans, cookies, pepperoncini, I mean, things that the kids liked, but somehow didn't get on the list. And with each successive shopping trip, I would get less focused and less able to concentrate on getting the food that our meager budget could manage. And finally, one day, as we reenacted this shopping craziness, I finally stopped and, with a little bit of melodrama, said, "Get behind me, Satan!" And the kids looked at me with their goofy grins. Looks that made it really hard to be upset with them, right? And then, of course, the folks around me are looking quizzically at me going, "Satan? Did he just call his children Satan? Really?" Well, I didn't then and don't think now that my kids are Satan. But it did give me pause to think. It particularly caused me to think about this passage that we are focusing on for today. You know, in this passage, Jesus is trying to get the folks in on what is in store for him. He's trying to talk to them, to tell them that he will undergo great suffering and be rejected by the religious establishment, who would then in turn have him executed. And after 3 days, he would rise again. And Peter, listening to all this, getting more and more agitated, took him aside. And scripture says he began to, quote unquote, rebuke him. What do you think he was saying? Well, my guess is he was shushing him. Have you ever been shushed? I have. He was shushing him. In the Gospel of Matthew, this story has Peter saying, God forbid this will never happen to you. And you can imagine the rest of this conversation, this narrative. You know, he's saying things like, Jesus, don't be such a downer. People won't follow you if they think they gotta die. Nobody wants to get on the Titanic, Jesus. Jesus, do you think you could lighten up a bit? Jesus, trust me, I've run campaigns before. You don't want to go there. And so forth. And Jesus listens to so much of this before he takes a deep breath and says a little more loudly than Peter would have liked, get behind me, Satan. And all this kind of causes me to think about Satan. Who is Satan really? Is he the guy in the red suit and the horns on his head? Is he one of these fallen angels? Who the heck is a Satan? And what, I want to ask, is the tactic here? Is it temptation? Is it the seduction of this world? Is it the lure of maybe not having to go to the cross? Sure. All of that and perhaps more. I think there are numerous possible answers here, but to be honest with you all, I read this and I was drawn instantly back to my erstwhile shopping trips with my twins some 20 years ago. What caused me to shout out, get behind me, Satan, wasn't so much that there were kids being evil or that they were doing anything that five-year-old kids don't normally do as a matter of course. It was that they were distracting me. In their youthful exuberance and cherubic mischief-making, they knocked me off balance so I couldn't focus on the task at hand. I couldn't pay attention to what I had to do, which was to buy good and nutritious food on a limited budget. Do you think that Peter, for Jesus, was maybe that kind of distraction? My kids couldn't and didn't know the stress of trying to make grocery dollars stretch to feed not just our family, but the parade of folk who ate with us and sometimes lived with us because of homelessness and other issues. And I don't know. Peter maybe caught up in the glory of healings and miracles, just couldn't bring himself to grasp, to comprehend what was coming. And so he chattered on, saying things like this couldn't possibly happen, when here was Jesus trying to tell all the people that indeed this was coming. And trust me here, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but I do think that the unthinking chatter of others around us can have a pretty negative effect at times. I think more damage can conceivably get done by distracted people than is done by downright deliberate evil. I mean, look how distracted we all are by social media, by ever-present cable television, with its perversion of truth, with a half a million TV channels, by Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and more. What if we said to it all, get behind us, Satan. What then would we be free to focus upon, I wonder? Where then would we spend our considerable energies and our formidable gifts? How many times have you talked about the things you would do if you weren't so, what, busy, right? Well, busy with what? Busy with distractions that may seem important but keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Are we busy with busyness? Are we made busy by kids in shopping carts or by sincere people who don't seem to be capable of getting what the real deal is? I mean, think about your own life. Think about it for a minute. What is it truly, really, at the end of the day, that you really think God wants you to pay attention to? And what are the things keeping you from that? I mean, there's a passage from the 8th chapter of Romans Perhaps some of you know it. And this passage states in grandiloquent terms that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the passage goes on to list not anything, not hunger, not danger, not famine, not sword, not peril, persecution. And it goes on with a list. And Paul writes that none of these things can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. To which I say, amen, amen, and alleluia. All these things are not capable of separating us from Christ. But friends, distractions, that can draw us away. Distractions can keep us from focusing. Distractions can keep us from getting clear. Distractions keep us from paying attention to the things that are actually important. Not in our eyes, not in my opinion, but in God's heart. So I ask you, what are the distractions in your life that keep you from truly following Jesus? Is there a Peter out there for you who's trying to convince you about easy Christianity with no costs or sacrifices? He may mean well, but friends, he's wrong. He's wrong. Is there a frenetic and crazy energy in your life like five-year-old twins that keep you from filling your cart with the right things? What is it for you? And then I would ask, what is it for us as church? And how do we collectively rise up, pay attention to these distractions, and say together, get behind us, Satan, we got work to do. Get behind us, Satan. We got a church to revitalize. Get behind us, Satan. We have hungry people to feed. Get behind us, Satan, so we can focus on God's work and God's church. I invite you, my friends, my dear friends, I invite you, in the spirit of this Lenten journey, to sit with loved ones or by yourself. Make a list of the things that distract you from God's work. I invite you to stand firm and put these things behind you. Set these distractions aside. Pull through them. Call them out if you must. But focus on the great work of building community, of serving God's people, of leading others to come on the journey with us, the journey of love, justice, hope, and healing, the journey that requires our full attention and calls us from the distractions that would have us go other places. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we come to you as the sheep of your pasture. We gather before you as the ones who follow you. And we seek the shelter and comfort of your shepherd, of your care, of your never-ending grace and love and forgiveness. God, for we, we come this day, God, as ones who stumble, who get tired, ones who sometimes get confused, and yes, God, we get distracted. And so we come praying for hope and new beginnings. We come wishing, God, for a sense of your awareness. And God, we come also because we walk this path and there are those among us who have stumbled and fallen. We walk this path, God, and there are those among us who are ill and very, very weary. There are those among us, God, who suffer from broken relationships. There are those among us, God, who grieve because we have lost loved ones in this time of pandemic. We have lost loved ones because they have gone on to glory, and we grieve. And so, God, we invite your presence. And we ask especially in this season for an outpouring of your Spirit upon us. Pour out your Spirit of hope. Give birth in us to a new sense of vision and possibility. We ask for an outpouring of your Spirit of healing, so that where we are wounded and hurt, we might be lifted up and made whole. Pour out your spirit of power, God, so that we might truly come to the place where we can claim what it means to be your people in a broken world. Hear us, God. Hold us. Mold us and shape us into a community that lives in unity to do your will. Call us to do things that we don't think we can do. Call us to new possibilities in this and every age. We pray this and so much more as your people in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami mailo malangi, me varoro taikine dhamuni. Me adhamaina nomuni matintu. Me dhagana lo mamuni evurvura, me pakasa dhaga mailo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kakane rutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala. Me pakaki mami sambukoda, were sa dhagadala viki mami. Nikaku nikotiki mami gine vere. Kamuni vambuli ke mami maina dha. Nisa nomuni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
Now we come to the time, sisters and brothers, where we have the privilege to return a portion of God's blessings to God's church so that the ministry that we share can continue and even grow. There are many ways to give here at Petaluma United Methodist Church. You can send a check to us in the mail at 410 D Street in Petaluma. You can also drop that check by the church office and put it in the mail slot. You can go on our website at www.petalumaumc.org and click on the Give Online button there. And we have a new way of giving by texting. And there are instructions in today's bulletin for you to do that. We have many ways, and we are grateful for your generosity, and we would urge those of you who have yet to make your pledge commitment to pray about doing that. But however you have decided to make your gifts to honor your commitment to this faith community, we remain and want to say clearly how grateful we are for your generosity. Let us be in an attitude of prayer now as we contemplate our gifts and give generously from our hearts.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Receive these gifts, O God, that are only but a portion of the blessings you have showered upon us. Grant that we might use them in your service. Grant that our labors, our financial resources, our presence, and our witness might combine with all the members of this community to make a difference in this world, so that in the wake we leave behind us, there is healing. In our shadows, there is love and grace. Grant us the courage, the vision, and the wisdom to use these gifts to do your will. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Hear these words of benediction. As we go this day, let us go with a new awareness of the many things which can distract us from the life that God would have us lead. Let us go with a new commitment to focus our hearts, to set aside the distractions and get to work in the ministry that God has called you to do, has called us to do. And as we go to pay attention, to shove aside the distractions, let us do so with an incredible joy, with laughter, with grace and love, in the name of the Creator, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.